happy to develop her own fashion sense. She had, in fact, bought jeans and a hoodie and some chunky-heeled boots in Cambridge. With cash, so the receipt wouldn't show up on her credit card bill, in case her mother or their accountant checked and questioned the items, which were currently hidden in her room. She'd felt like a different person wearing them, so different she'd walked straight into a McDonald's and ordered her first Big Mac with large fries and a chocolate shake. The pleasure had been so huge, she'd had to go into the bathroom, close herself in a stall, and cry a little. The seeds of the rebellion had been planted that day, she supposed, or maybe they'd always been there, dormant, and the fat and salt had awakened them. But she could feel them, actually feel them, sprouting in her belly now. "Your plans changed, Mother. It doesn't follow that mine have to change with them." Susan took a moment to precisely place a shoe bag in the Pullman, tucking it just so with her beautiful and clever surgeon's hands, the nails perfectly manicured. A French manicure, as always. No color there, either. "Elizabeth." Her voice was as polished and calm as her wardrobe. "It took considerable effort to reschedule and have you admitted to the summer program this term. You'll complete the requirements for your admission into Harvard Medical School a full semester ahead of schedule." Even the thought made Elizabeth's stomach hurt. "I was promised a 3-week break, including this next week in New York."
"And sometimes promises must be broken. If I hadn't had this coming week off, I couldn't fill in for Dr. Dusecki at the conference."
"You could have said no."
"That would have been selfish and short-sighted."
Susan brushed at the jacket she'd hung, stepped back to check her list.
"You're certainly mature enough to understand the demands of work overtake pleasure and leisure."
"If I'm mature enough to understand that, why aren't I mature enough to make my own decisions? I want this break. I need it."
Susan barely spared her daughter a glance. "A girl of your age, physical condition, and mental acumen hardly needs a break from her studies and activities. In addition, Mrs. Lane has already left for her 2-week cruise, and I could hardly ask her to postpone her vacation. There's no one to fix your meals or tend to the house."
"I can fix my own meals and tend the house."
"Elizabeth."
The tone managed to merge, clipped with long suffering.
"It's settled."
"And I have no say in it? What about developing my independence, being responsible?"
"Independence comes in degrees, as does responsibility and freedom of choice. You still require guidance and direction. Now, I've emailed you an updated schedule for the coming week, and your packet with all the information on the program is on your desk. Be sure to thank Dr. Frisco personally for making room for you in the summer term."
As she spoke, Susan closed the garment bag, then her small Pullman. She stepped to her bureau to check her hair, her lipstick. "You don't listen to anything I say." In the mirror, Susan's gaze shifted to her daughter. The first time, Elizabeth thought, her mother had bothered to actually look at her since she'd come into the bedroom.
"Of course I do. I heard everything you said very clearly."
"Listening's different than hearing."
"That may be true, Elizabeth, but we've already had this discussion."
"It's not a discussion, it's a decree."
Susan's mouth tightened briefly, the only sign of annoyance. When she turned, her eyes were coolly, calmly blue. "I'm sorry you feel that way. As your mother, I must do what I believe best for you."
"What's best for me, in your opinion, is for me to do, be, say, think, act, want, become exactly what you decided for me before you inseminated yourself with precisely selected sperm."
She heard the rise of her own voice, but couldn't control it, felt the hot sting of tears in her eyes, but couldn't stop them.
"I'm tired of being your experiment. I'm tired of having every minute of every day organized, orchestrated, and choreographed to meet